When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us for How She Does It. On this show, we talk about all things women, money, and power. I'm Karen Fireman. I met my guest, Lee Gallagher, close to 15 years ago at the Fortune Most Powerful Women's Summit when she was the executive director. I always admired the scale and the quality of that event. And Lee was equally adept at organizing, emceeing, asking great questions as a journalist, interviewing all the women there, and she was also a host. Clearly, I was impressed. We had a warm, friendly relationship, and over the years, our business relationship developed into a real friendship. What started as just spending our 15-minute coffee breaks at the events together became lunches and then dinners, and soon we were confiding in each other about the deepest aspects of our personal lives. If you don't know Lee, she's had and has a very successful career, starting in journalism at Fortune, as I mentioned, then Google as their director of external affairs, and now as a managing director at Tenio. Along the way, she somehow managed to write two books, most recently, The Airbnb Story, How Three Ordinary Guys Disrupted an Industry, Made Billions, and Created Plenty of Controversy. But despite all of her success and accomplishments, more than anything, she yearned to be a mother. We're here today because she made the life-altering decision to have a baby on her own. We're going to get into how it affected her career and her personal life. Her daughter is now 5 as of today when this episode comes out, and the advice she has for other women who are looking to do the same. Lee, thank you so much for being here. Welcome to the show.
Karen, thank you for that lovely introduction. It just makes me think back to how we met, and I'm just filled with so many great memories of our lunches over the years. So thank you. Thank you for having me here. It's great to see you.
I am delighted. Okay, so first of all, for those of you who don't know Lee, tell them a little bit about yourself and your long career.
Sure. I mean, gosh, it is long. I was a business journalist for 25 years. With journalism, they say that you're bitten by the bug, and I indeed was. In 9th grade, I grew up in a town called Media. Maybe that had something to do with it. Media, Pennsylvania. But I never considered doing anything else. I fell into the business side of journalism completely by chance. When I graduated from college, I just would wait on Saturday nights for the New York Times classified section to come out and circle all the ads. And I got a job at a trade magazine that covered the sporting goods business, and I was the footwear reporter. And I bring this up because you make a round of calls to introduce yourself, and you've got all these, you know, have all these chats with the companies you're going to cover. And I remember thinking to myself, all of these companies are using the same acronym, these same three letters. I have no idea what this is. I'm not going to tell them, but it's IPO. What is IPO? I mean, I was a 22-year-old English major. That's how little I knew about business.
Wait, in case anyone doesn't know who's listening, IPO is an initial public offering. It's when a company goes public.
Yes, good clarification. But the wonderful thing about journalism is you just learn and learn. And the more I learned about business, I just fell in love with it. I saw how it made the world go round, all the incredible, colorful personalities. It just lent itself to storytelling so well. And that's just what set me on my career that you described. So I ended up going to Forbes and then Smart Money and then Fortune, where I spent 12 years and really had an incredibly meaningful experience there.
Okay, so of all the stories that you've done, what is the one that really stands out most to you?
I mean, I would say there's so many. I would say one would definitely be the profile of Airbnb's co-founder and CEO, Brian Chesky, that I did in the early days of Airbnb. And it was really focused on how he taught himself how to be a leader. He was a kid out of RISD who stumbled upon this incredible idea. But he ended up having this very meticulous process of how he taught himself to lead. And that story ended up being the foundation that led to the opportunity to write a book about Airbnb, which was a really also meaningful experience. So that was one. And if I could say one other, because as you mentioned, a big focus of what I did at Fortune was around women in leadership. One of my last stories there was a big long feature about the role of the COO, the chief operating officer, and why it's so commonly held by women, which was something I'd noticed just time and time again. And I really dug into that and reported it out. And again, the privilege of journalism is to be able to have a thought and a theory and report it out and then write something and put it out into the world. So I really love doing all that. And those two are standouts, I would say.
All right. So along the way, you took on something else and you decided to have a baby on your own. And I wanted to hear really about what you were thinking before that moment. And then what was that moment where you decided, I'm not going to wait?
Yes. First off, Karen, we've known each other a long time now. And as you said, and you were such an important champion of this idea and of me and a source of really important encouragement. And I'm so grateful to you for that. So yeah, I had a career I loved and a family and friends I loved, but I was missing this one piece of my life, which I just always thought I would be a mom. And then all of a sudden, the ticking clock is real. I guess I hit my late 30s and then I felt like I blinked and it was my early 40s. My job was going well. I had started to write books and just, wow, does the time fly? And so it really was this almost a fear of regret that really led me to the decision. It was almost like, my God, if I just continue on this path, which I could see, which was a great path, it would be filled with lots of travel, lots of great more work things and a wonderful life. But I just thought for me, because this is something I always wanted, I didn't want to suddenly be 60 years old and look back and think, why did I not do this? I could have a 10 or 15 year old by my side right now. And so it was really that fear of regret almost more than anything else. And I saw how easily that could happen if I didn't take action. And the funny thing is, I can be famously bad at making decisions. Like, I'm not the person to decide where to go for dinner tonight. I cannot choose a paint color. But this was a no-brainer and a very active choice. It was maybe the easiest decision I made in my life. And again, it's for me. It's not for everybody, but it was the right one for me.
It's funny how you talk about it when you look on it now, because in some of our many conversations, there was this, I don't know if I can do it. And you talk about sort of surrendering something you were holding on to before. And then once you did that, can you describe that moment you've described to me? Because I think it's so powerful.
Sure. Yes. So I had this huge epiphany at one point, which is something I tell people a lot, which is, you know, we spend so many years hoping, oh, will I meet the right person? Will it happen for me? Will it happen to me? And it's sort of so up in the air and up to fate. I mean, when I'm talking about meeting a partner, but by making this decision and by going through all these steps that we can talk about, it's not easy just even mechanically. I just felt 100% like I was just taking all that power back. Like, it's not going to be up to the dating gods. It's going to be up to me. And I'm going to take it into my own hands and make it happen for myself. And I get to decide.
And that was this switch that flipped for you.
It was. Yes. Like, I can, oh my gosh, I can do this. I can actually do this. I don't have to. I mean, again, it isn't the way that I thought my life would work out. But honestly, it's amazing. I am so happy I did it. And yeah, it's out there.
I know you've talked, and it always struck me as so interesting, the idea of, you said you were free to not have the burden of the decision anymore.
Yeah, because there were many years of, I know this is an option, but it did take me a while to sort of build up the courage. And honestly, I think part of that courage is just the pressure of the ticking clock. It's just like, okay, now's the time. I have to, if I'm going to do this, it's going to be now. And if I don't do this, life will look a little different. It'll just be that other path. And so nothing like a deadline, as a journalist knows more than anything else. And of course, I should say, I talked to many people who've done this before me, and I really relied on having those conversations, seeing it modeled, talking to many people about what it looked like, how they did it. Like, literally, how do you do it? How do you go to work in the morning? So I had a lot of those conversations, and I now have those conversations with a lot of people, because it really is, if you can see it, you can be it kind of thing.
Okay, so you switch into a woman of action mode and you go into this. Okay, tell us about jumping into that world.
I mean, once I made the decision, then I became back in a very familiar place, which is, as you say, action mode, like work mode, get it done. There's just like a ton of steps you have to go through. And that kind of checklist, that's very familiar to me. So there's a number of ways that women can do this. And the paths to single parenthood look very different. Women or men, by the way. Whether for women, I guess I'm speaking, I mean, some people get accidentally pregnant and then decide, okay, I'm going to do this, all the way through planning out every step from sperm donor to egg donor to surrogate to adoption, whatever one's journey might be. For me, I went through the equivalent of IVF and then picked a sperm donor. So that was the process, but it took many years and many tries, and it was a real journey. So I will say I was lucky in some ways because IVF can be very physically taxing on a lot of people. And I felt very fortunate that it was not. And in fact, I felt that every injection was like part of that taking action. Every injection, every blood test that you have to travel across the city for, all felt like a step towards my goal. And so it was really empowering, even the very motions I was going through in the fertility process. So I kind of oddly liked it. I say that to people a lot and people think I'm crazy, but that really is what it felt like to me. So there was that. And then there's the whole process of picking a donor, which is, I mean, a kind of bizarre process. But the more you get into it and talk to other people about it, there is certainly some levity to it. You go online on these websites and, you know, there's celebrity lookalikes. Everybody says, oh, this one looks like Bradley Cooper. This one looks like, I mean, it's hilarious. And there was an interesting kind of epiphany there for me too, which was it can be really tempting to focus on, oh, I'm going to find, you know, looks or athleticism or brain power. But, you know, you don't get to choose everything. So what really ended up resonating with me was hearing these candidates speak. You can listen to audio interviews with them. And that really became one of the things I prioritized. How did they talk about themselves? How did they engage with and relate to the interviewer? Do they have EQ and a sense of self? I just kind of realized, you know what? That's what I care about more than anything. Language and EQ and presence and that humanity. And so that's what really resonated with me. And then you make this big decision and you pick and you literally click add to cart. And so if I write a book about this one day, it's going to be called Add to Cart.
Okay. So you become pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And describe what it felt like being pregnant and also balancing your life, knowing you got this giant responsibility coming up.
Yeah. I mean, and that's true with anybody, single or not. I mean, it's like, oh my God, this is suddenly just became real. And I had now talk about another ticking clock. I've got 9 months to get this all together and get my life ready. And so first of all, I was so surprised when they called me because I was so used to it not working. And I remember I had plans with a friend for a drink that night. And I thought, I'm going to really need this because I'm supposed to get this call today. And I just am feeling like it didn't work. And she called me and I picked up the phone and she said, congratulations. And I was floored. But then it's the process of just researching all the gear and figuring out how this is going to work. I mean, I didn't quite know. I had joined Google. I knew I would have a generous maternity leave and I would have time and space to figure it out, which really meant everything. But I don't know. My pregnancy itself was wonderful. It was almost like once I made this hard decision, A, it worked, and B, I had this kind of magical pregnancy. I felt great. I had happy hormones. My hair got better. My skin got better. I mean, it's like all the things they say don't happen to you. It was a really exciting and great time in my life.
Uh-huh. Okay. So did you knew it was a girl, right?
So I found out it was a girl. Yes. And this brings up, you know, there's some silver linings to doing it on your own. The doctors will write down the gender and put it in an envelope so that you can open it whenever you want. And right around the time that I could find out, it was close to my father's birthday and Thanksgiving, and I was about to go home. And so I ended up packaging it up with his birthday present. And I was there with my parents and all of us opened it together. And I saved that moment to do it with them together. And that's something you might obviously do with a partner in a traditional situation. But I was able to share that moment. I have a video. It's great. It was so special.
Okay. Another benefit. You choose the name. Totally up to you. There is no, you know, we'll split the difference and come up with something neither of us loves, or you get to choose.
Yeah, so many people said that to me when I was pregnant. So many people that were in partnerships that said, God, you're so lucky. And I, like I said before, I hate making decisions. So I said, no, I wish I could make this decision with somebody. But a lot of people did make that very point to me. So yes, I chose the name, chose everything.
All right, Lee, I want to get to how your life has changed since having your daughter. But for now, we're going to take a quick break.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
From the latest in artificial intelligence to new apps and business upgrades, the tech industry is always changing and growing. So keep up with the Daily Crunch podcast from TechCrunch. With new episodes released nearly every day, the Daily Crunch gives you a brief overview of the biggest tech headlines, and it's all delivered in around 5 minutes or less, so you can easily hear about the latest updates while trying some of those updates for yourself. Listen to the Daily Crunch now, wherever you get your podcasts. That's the Daily Crunch, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm speaking with Lee Gallagher, author, journalist, and communications director, and single mother by choice. Lee, okay. So since Marin was born, how does your life work? How do you do it?
Oh my gosh, that's the billion-dollar question. So there's many ways to make this work. I have a huge network of what we're called single parents by choice, and everybody does it in a little bit of a different way. The way I make it work is with childcare, incredible childcare. I'm very fortunate to be able to have had my nanny, Carrie, for the past 5 years. She's absolutely invaluable, and a few trusted babysitters who are part of our little village. And so, you know, that kind of childcare is not an option for everyone, but there's tons of options for people considering this. You can oftentimes bake family into the equation. That doesn't really work for me. My parents are a few hours away, but that's a very common, at least, piece of the puzzle. I know a lot of single moms or dads like me who use daycare, babysitting co-ops. Some people restructure their careers so that they have more time to be home for a certain amount of time and then maybe take a pause or something like that. So that's really how I make it work. That is the glue that holds it all together. I go to work events, I travel when I need to, and it's all possible because of the incredible support that I have and the people that I have in my life, in both of our lives.
Okay, did you ever recall feeling whether she was sick in the middle of the night and you had to call the pediatrician and you're exhausted? And did you ever recall feeling sort of, I can't do this?
Yeah, well, I felt I can't do this a lot.
As does any parent.
As does any parent, yeah. But the middle of the night thing has always been my concern. And for me, it's actually like me getting food poisoning in the middle of the night and being physically unable to do anything or having to get myself to a hospital. What do I do? And I have a list of people I can call. It hasn't happened yet. That is definitely a big thing. But it's also little things. You know, like I cannot run an errand. Let's say I left my wallet at the supermarket. I couldn't run back unless I either, well, I'd bring her with me or get a babysitter. Or at night, I can't move my car across the street for alternate side parking. I can't leave the house. And even though she's sleeping, and I can't go downstairs to the gym when she's sleeping. And another thing that is very real is when she gets up super early, she's a really good sleeper. But if she gets up super early one morning, and if I have a big project due that day, I can't roll over and say to someone, can you just get her? Can you go get her? I need to sleep a little bit more. Never. I can never do that. I mean, there is a lot that's just on you. And that is hard, but it's not what I thought it would look like. There's also sometimes in the mornings and the evenings, I'm alone with her before my nanny gets here. There's always inevitably some work crisis that breaks out that I have to address. And you know what? We're okay with that. Like I put her in front of a show, I deal with it, and you just manage. And again, I think a lot of this is any parents of young children.
Right. It's universal. Right.
It's universal. Yeah. I will say one of the things I struggle with most, speaking of something that is universal, is the administrative load. The administrative load of parenting, the doctor's forms, the school applications, the summer stuff, the researching the baby monitor, all that, the life insurance. It's just all of this stuff plus managing a household, like all of that stuff feels like a ton and very pressing all the time. And that also is any parent. And in fact, we know that in two-parent households where there's a man and a woman, a lot of that work does fall to the woman. And so I know I'm not alone in that. And it's not easy.
No, it's not easy. It is almost a crushing amount of work, especially the school thing in New York. It's like applying your kid to college at age 5 and then again at...
Exactly. And I'm doing public school. I'm doing public school. But even then, there's just a whole bunch of things that are just, there's just lots of boxes to check for everything.
I went through fertility issues and IVF and the whole thing. And I, at the end of the day, I sort of had two revelations, one of which is I had really wanted my own biological children before the whole fertility thing. And after having children, I really thought, you know what? It doesn't really matter. They may come through you or not, but they are whoever they are, regardless. That was one thing. And the second one was, it really felt like there was this destiny that my children, I would end up with my children. Whatever path had to happen for that to be the case, this was the destiny for me. And I think many parents feel that. And I wonder if you feel that with your very sort of circuitous and unexpected road to get to Marin.
I do. I do feel that very much. This is the child that I was meant to have. And the child you have is the child you have. And it's funny when you think even like big picture, well, if you had gotten pregnant in a different month, it would be a different child. I mean, it's almost too big to think about. So I do agree with that. Absolutely. And I also have to say, I mean, having one child, I don't know how anyone has more than one. And so you have four. And I just...
I got to tell you, though, 0 to 1, that is the enormity of the leap. Everything else after that is just incremental. It's 0 to 1. You can't leave the apartment with and a child alone, 1 or 4. I mean, just things like that. The paperwork is more. So she's 5. Does she ask you about, all right, why do we have a different kind of family or something like that?
Not yet. The research all says that you just want to be as transparent as possible. You don't want the child to feel any kind of shame or anything like that. And so, you know, the research says you should start literally talking about this openly, literally from infancy when they can't even understand. But I have been, the way I explain it is that mommy wanted you so badly that it takes a few different things to make a baby. And there's some very generous people out there. And I got this from somebody else and you were in my tummy. And she loves that. And the thing she remembers most is that mommy wanted her so badly. So she walks around the house saying, mommy wanted me so badly.
Yeah, you don't need to over-explain it.
Right.
A good enough answer.
For now. I mean, I think obviously in her classroom, most people have two parents and she knows that she's a little different. But we always say we're a team. She says we're a team. She says the most special things. I mean, it's funny. She was in my bedroom the other night and she pointed at the cover of the New York Times magazine, which had this big heart, graphic heart on it. And she said, mommy, what's that? She loves big graphic anything. I said, oh, that's a heart because it's their modern love issue. And that's a heart for love. And she was satisfied and she walked out of the room and she sort of flipped her head back and she said, well, maybe it's about you and me.
Oh, my God.
And she said it like a little adult. And I just thought, oh, my God, it is about you and me. That is our modern love. That absolutely is.
Oh, that's so sweet. All right. So what sort of advice do you have for people who two groups, one who are struggling to make the decision you did and some who are struggling on that night when their child's crying and wondering, how am I going to do this?
Yeah, I guess for people that are considering it, I would say, I mean, just do it or don't, by the way. It's completely fine to evaluate this and decide, you know what, it's not for me. I've spoken to many people who've landed there, and that's also totally okay. So I would say talk to people who've done it before, for sure. And I'm always happy to have those conversations. So anybody should feel free to reach out to me. I would say another thing that really helps is to pull the camera back and think about your life, not tomorrow or in 6 months or when you have a newborn, but in 10 or 20 years. You know, do you want a teenager or a 20-year-old at the table with you? That can sometimes be a helpful framework because it just sort of really broadens the perspective a little bit. And then, I don't know. I mean, then just line up, figure out how you're going to do it, what your kind of care solution is going to be and what your work solution is going to be and start thinking about that. And I would say, honestly, that's the easier piece of it. The harder piece is just coming to the decision. But one thing I'll say there is that, you know, one thing I learned over the course of thinking about this for many years, I remember when I was in my 20s, there was someone in my office who had done it who was in her 40s. And I remember thinking at the time, God, I would never do that. It looked so scary. And I was like, wow, I would never do that. And then when you're actually knocking at that door, it's not scary. It's, oh, this is the option for me. This is what I'm going to do. So, and at every turn, there's all kinds of things that look that way. And, ooh, do I want to do that? And then once you're there and that is the best option for for you. It's not that scary. And I don't even like to use the word scary because this is a wonderful thing. We shouldn't talk about it being scary, but maybe just not the way you expected to do it. I am so happy and fulfilled, and I'm really glad that I made the decision I did. I just feel like we talk a lot about the challenges and the late nights and the early mornings, but for all of that, I'm very, very aware that one day, not so far from now, she's going to be out of the house and I'll be very sad and I will pine for these days and these problems. And I am very aware of that, largely because a lot of people my age have older kids who are leaving the nest right now and I see them go through it. So I get to be the benefit of that and know that even in those tough moments, this is the special time and it's not going to last forever. And so I just try to hold on to that.
Oh, you're so right. I have various states of the nest right now, and the fuller the nest, the better for me. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, Lee, this has been such a good conversation. Before we move to our lightning round, we're going to take a quick break.
If you care about what happens to your money, you need to listen to SoFi Daily. Unlike other podcasts talking about finances, markets, and businesses, some spending more than 60 minutes to cover everything, SoFi cuts to the heart of the financial world in 5 minutes or less. In each episode, you'll hear about every financial piece of news you need to know, from previous market updates and future trends to things happening that day. It's a great way to track what's going on and how it could affect your money. So stay on top of your finances. Listen to SoFi Daily wherever you get your podcasts. That's SoFi Daily wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back with the lightning round. The only challenge is you just got to answer off the top of your head. Don't think.
Okay.
For a thinker like you, I don't know if that'll be hard. All right. Okay. Would you rather take your daughter to the playground or a museum?
Museum.
Okay. Airbnb or hotel?
Airbnb.
Sam Bankman-Fried or Elizabeth Holmes as a stork?
Oh my God, Karen, that's a good one. I think Elizabeth Holmes.
Okay. Would you rather give an elevator pitch to a CEO or give a speech in front of thousands?
Speech in front of thousands.
You've done it before. You're good at it. Okay. Backstage at a concert or VIP at a game?
Backstage at a concert.
Okay. Would you rather be on the road or snuggled up at home?
Snuggled up at home.
Okay. I got to say, though, as a mom, sometimes that one night on the road alone in a hotel, pretty great.
Oh, I get that. I get those nights. Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather write a hard-hitting investigative piece or a nonfiction book?
Oh my God, that's tough. Those are my two loves. I would say nonfiction book.
Okay. I mean, that is a hard thing to do and you've done it many times. Okay, last couple. What have you changed your mind about in the last year?
Oh my God, leaving butter out of the fridge on the counter.
I get that all the time. That's the answer most commonly said here.
I'm passionate about it, actually.
How did that happen?
It was actually during the pandemic, so it wasn't in the past year. But I don't know, my parents do that at home, and I've always kept it in the fridge here, and we just left it out. And I love toast, and it's so much easier to spread, and butter's just easier to use when it's out there. It's perfectly fine. It's not going to go bad.
That is a great answer, I got to say. All right. What is the best investment you've ever made and the worst investment you've ever made? And it's a very broad definition of investment. Could be anything.
Look, we didn't talk about the financials. I had good insurance, but I racked up a lot of credit card bills. But it was the best investment I ever made in the journey getting me to my daughter. The worst investment I ever made? I mean, there's so much baby gear that I bought and didn't use. So probably something in there.
All right. So where can our listeners find you?
So on LinkedIn, I'm there. You can find a little bit more about me on the Teneo website and a little bit more about the work that we do. And you can go to Amazon and look for my two books. But yeah, those are the main places.
Okay. All right, Lee, thank you so much. I mean, I always love seeing you, but thank you for taking the time with us today. And it's a really important topic, and I'm so glad we got to it.
Karen, thank you. I'm so touched and grateful for your interest. And it's great to see you as always. So thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today on How She Does It. Thank you so much to Lee Gallagher for sharing why she decided to have a daughter on her own terms. When you have a moment, please follow us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to updates from the Her Money community at hermoney.com/subscribe. Our producers are Catherine Tuggle and Haley Pascalides, with help from everyone at Her Money. This podcast is mixed and mastered out of CDM Sound Studios. Our music is from Video Helper, and our show comes to you through Megaphone. Have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you here with us again. Onward.